Welcome to your next HR Wisdom resource. This is Ben Gagan from HR Wisdom, and today I'm joined by Jackie Alder, a consultant with extensive and diverse experience across human resources, change management, organisational development, and industrial relations. Jackie's experience has been gained across a variety of industry sectors, including resources, manufacturing, transport, government, and defence. Jackie has had significant achievements across a range of areas, with projects including organisational change, culture change, organisational redesign, systems implementation, workforce reform, and cost improvement. We've asked Jackie to share her expertise in different aspects of the difficult process of managing redundancies in the workplace. Let's get started. When do you move from group conversations, so we are considering about redundancies and things like this, to talking to individuals? How do you talk to individuals? And then secondly, when you've moved on to a decision phase, how do you communicate that to individuals, whether it be in writing, conversation, groups or whatever? And then finally, if you're not doing the march out, how do you manage that? How do you do the notification process?
You've had the group sort of communication and everyone knows what's happening, and we've, you know, there's a process and you're narrowing down. How do you have the individual conversations? Again, it's all a factor of what your circumstances in are from a business and how quickly you need to do this. But the ideal way, the way that I found in my experience worked the best, is the conversation about whether you're going or not needs to occur with someone's immediate manager or supervisor. It needs to be someone that knows that individual, an external person from head office or a consultant that has never met that person before is definitely not the right person. Clearly, though, we need to provide appropriate support to the person who's conducting the conversation, because it's just humanly a difficult thing to do. Regardless of whether they're very experienced and they may have done it before, it's difficult. And it's difficult then to face that person and have the presence of mind. So either internally through what your organisation may have a human resources section who can support, or using the services of an outplacement provider to provide a script and a structure to the person who's holding the conversation and coach them in that and be present through that process. Research shows that generally gives you a better perception. Generally gives you a better perception from the person who had the conversation and received the news than if that does not occur. The other thing is, it's pretty obvious if you only have a one-to-one conversation with X people and the others don't have that conversation. How I've done it in the past is generally you're working with a manager or a supervisor who's, you know, got a team working for them. That team size generally is not huge, so it is possible to talk to everybody in the team. And we've had a conversation with everybody in the team. Is okay, X, we've been through the process. They know most of where it stands in relation to you. That means that your position remains and that you'll be continuing. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you have a conversation with everyone, one conversation is more easy than the other. They need to be simple, straightforward and direct. If it's good news and you're staying, state it. And if it's bad news and you're going, state it simply and directly. Beating around the bush doesn't help. People know what's going on. But at the same time, it's okay to demonstrate that for you as a person, if you're communicating that this is a difficult thing to do. In these situations, people want to see your humanity, and that actually helps the circumstance more so than anything else. But simple, direct, and let everybody know where they stand. Thirdly, the march out versus the stay. The pros of the march out is that I suppose you've implemented the change straight away and you can move forward. You haven't got that person being present in the workplace. And also, I know in some functions, sales is one of those where there are concerns that a disenchanted person who's just been made redundant if you leave them in the business, they may do damage. So those things do have to be taken into account. If you do have to march someone out, it is still possible to give them the opportunity to say farewell to the people and to let them know. If they need to be escorted while they have that process, that's fine, but you can still give them that time, and subsequently to still have a farewell for that person, some form of function. You know, it's off-site, it's out of the workplace, so the things that the impacts that you may be concerned of aren't going to be in that workplace. That gives the colleagues an opportunity to say goodbye, and that person an opportunity to say goodbye to the colleagues. So you can do a march out a little bit sensitively. If you're leaving someone there, a couple of things. They need to actually have meaningful work to continue to go on with. Generally, if you are providing outplacement, well, it's during that time that you give them opportunity to attend outplacement. So if someone is staying behind knowing that they're redundant, like all your other employees, a manager or a team leader needs to pay attention to what they need to do to manage that employee. Give them some focus in terms of work allocation. So in between, you know, in the next 4 weeks, what needs to be achieved from my perspective, what does that person want to tidy up and turn it into a project focus for the period that they're there, so they're not just kind of meandering around and things are petering out. If you need things handover, that's part of the process. If someone is either on a personal level not coping with being present in the workplace or being destructive, like any other performance issue, you need to address that. And it may be that you find that someone's being destructive. You need to deal with that, and that might be, well, look, we tried it this way, it's not working, we're going to need to make it a different termination date from the organisation. That shouldn't affect any financial settlement that you've made. It's just you've made a call that you don't want this person there. It's not good for them and it's not good for you. But like any performance issue, deal with it. Straightforward, but sensitive at the same time. But deal with it.
Jackie, what are your thoughts on the fact that different organisations might take advantage of the global financial meltdown to weed out poor performers? What are your thoughts on taking that approach?
I have heard tell of that perhaps being one of the things that is occurring. For me, as a practitioner who, with 20 plus years experience, poor performance is a problematic area inside organisations always. But ultimately, if someone is performing poorly, it should not matter what the circumstances are. That's something that's not right for the business, and it's not good for the person as well. And for me, poor performance is something that should be dealt with as it occurs, and a person given the opportunity to correct that poor performance. Making people redundant because they're poor performers is certainly expedient and convenient. One doesn't have to go through a performance management process. That's a lot easier, and you get that person out of the way. But that's just really luck of the draw. You know, if there wasn't a global financial crisis, would you be happy to continue to have that person performing poorly inside your organisation? If you were, well, then you can speak to your CEO or president about that. But giving a poor performer a redundancy package, one, is not necessarily a very wise use of the organisation's financial resources. And if I'm a good performer who would perhaps like a redundancy, and I'm seeing that someone who's a poor performer is going to have not pulled their weight for all the time they've been working for me, and they're going to get a nice bundle of cash to exit the organisation, I'm not going to feel very happy about that. As an employee, I'd call into question, why would I be putting in such effort? And maybe if I want to be made redundant, I make a choice about deciding to drop my level of performance. So, yes, it's expedient. Financially, I don't think particularly wise. If it was your money and you were managing your household budget, would you pay extra money to the person who constantly came to fix your TV and didn't do the job? Or would you actually not get them back after a couple of times and find someone who did it? And for the employees who sit there and see this and are left behind, again, it's a potentially demotivating factor that one doesn't need to add in times where it's already difficult to keep people's attention on what you need them to do.
Okay, thanks, Jackie. Any final comments?
Thanks, Ben. Final comments are really that redundancy is like any change that you have in your organisation, and many managers and leaders out there know all too well what the change management steps are if you're going to implement a new IT system or change a particular component of your manufacturing process. And those steps are fairly similar to managing redundancy. What there is that there's a heavier people side, but we all know through change management experience that you can change an IT system, unless you do the people change, the IT system will not work. What we're changing is the people system, and there's perhaps a less black and white aspect to that than there is in changing an IT system, but there's still the change management principles apply to that situation as well. And that's understand what your current state is, where you're going to, what do you need to plan to do to make that happen, and how do you need to engage the staff to implement the plan, how are you going to measure yourself along the way. Really quite straightforward if you take the emotion out of it.
Thanks for joining us on today's HR Wisdom interview. Make sure you're on the mailing list so that we can let you know about further resources. Also, keep checking back to the HR Wisdom blog for the latest news, and you can find that at www.hrwisdom.com.au. Thanks again.